Good morning. Wednesday outside on this beautiful gray day in May. Welcome to Southern California in the late spring. So, into Romans and a couple announcements before we go. Remember that tonight is the last CLC together at our Escondido campus. So if that's part of your regular rhythm weekly, come tonight and enjoy the time together. And we will keep the CLC together going in San Marcos on Tuesdays. So if that's available for you or something that you would enjoy and you're local, come on by. We'd love to see you. Remember that tomorrow is our first day of directory picture shoots. It'll also be at our San Marcos campus. And so that kicks off for the next 3 days. Tomorrow at San Marcos, the next 2 days over in Escondido. Saturday, we've got our Mother's Day event. If you haven't bought tickets yet, I have heard there will be tickets available at the door, 11 a.m. Saturday, bring your mom. And then in a few weeks on Saturday, we'll have a Memorial Day event at our San Marcos campus. Keep an ear out for that. And any veterans you know that may want to go and honor friends or close acquaintances who have died during service, please, you know, invite them. It's a beautiful, somber, but yet beautiful event. And we will have lunch following as well. It's also a great opportunity to make some connections with the community. So if you're in the church and want to meet some folks from around San Marcos, come on over. All right. Or see some friends from who are regularly at the Escondido campus as well. It's a good time to get together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning where you give us a new day. You've brought us into this time. And as you continue to fill us by your Spirit, Lord, we pray that you would guide our hearts in this meditation on your word, that you would lead us today, that you would focus our hearts and minds on Jesus, knowing that we are dead to sin and alive to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, rolling through Romans here. We're coming up on chapter 6, chapter 5, beautifully covered last week, and then wrapped up earlier Monday with Pastor Bob. And just beautiful to see Paul working through this explanation of peace with God and how that comes through this beautiful gift of faith, right? And how grace abounds. Okay, we're in chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14. And I want you to think of something that was present at one point in life, but now has no bearing on life whatsoever. It could be a myriad of things. I don't know what it is personally for you, right? But it could be a way in which life was lived at one point and how that life isn't lived in that way now. I don't know. I don't really have an example for you or something to put that thought in your mind, but to just think through that for a second, because Paul's kind of getting at that as we hear these verses. So here we go. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Let's stop there for a second. That's kind of the thought a lot of times, right? Grace abounds. We are free in Christ. This is beautiful. I can go do whatever I want. Not quite. But there is a beautiful change that we'll see that comes about as we continue to hear Paul. You kind of do get to do whatever you want, except what you want ends up being different than what you wanted before a lot of times, or at least that's kind of the growth anyway. So let's hear him again. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? How can we continue to do the things that we're dead to? It doesn't work that way, right? So how can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You have been buried in baptism. An old life done away with and buried. A way in which things used to be done, no longer done in the same way. But you're not left there. You're raised to new life. I mean, think about that. As you were baptized, for those of you that have been baptized, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, private message me, give me a call, something. We'll talk about this. But for those of you that have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, you've been buried in baptism into Christ's death and not left there. You've been raised in new life. That's the promise, that he has raised you to eternal life. By his grace, by his doing, by his hand, he has given you a new life, a life that does not end. Yes, we're going to experience death until the day that Jesus comes back, but there is still the resurrection, just like Jesus was raised. So internally, spiritually, heart-driven wise, we have been buried in baptism, buried into that death of Christ, and raised to a new life, a new perspective, a new outlook, a new way in which to see the world that God has given us, not to be used by us, but to be cared for through us by God. That's a very different perspective. No longer looking to prove yourself to God or use the creation for your own good, but to know that God has taken care of you so that you can go out and care for the things that God has given you in front of you. That grace would abound, that in the midst of broken things, a word of peace would be spoken, that in where families fall apart, reconciliation would happen, where hate happens, love would be shown. I mean, all these beautiful ways in which God works through his creation for the good of his creation. Dead to sin, alive in Christ. A new heart, a new perspective, a new way of seeing the world around, to see the beauty and the joy that God has given us in this wonderful creation that he loves so much, he sent his son to die for it and rise for it, to reconcile it back to himself. So should we go abuse all of it so more of his grace should abound? By no means. You're free from that. You get to live in the beautiful grace of God, knowing that he has taken care of the necessary things and sends you out to go enjoy it. Not to use it or abuse it, but to enjoy the beauty of it, to enjoy the peace of it, the wholeness of it, to enjoy the wondrous creation that he has given. Needed some coffee. Okay, walking in newness of life, right? Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This new life given in Christ, this new perspective, this knowing that eternity is ours now in baptism. That's the gift. You have been brought into the presence of the Father. You are counted as his child in baptism on account of Christ. By God's own hand, he has made you new. We're going to see what that fully looks like in the resurrection. We're going to see what that fully looks like on the day that Jesus comes back. But you can feel it. You can sense it. You can know that there's something different. We struggle between these desires that we've had before and this newness of life that we have now, but man, it's there. All right, let's keep going. We're only at verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Freed from the bondage of sin, freed from the taskmaster of sin, freed from the reign of Satan over your heart, freed from that. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. How beautiful is that? Instead of trying to live our own lives bound by sin, we're dead to sin and alive to God. It doesn't mean we're not going to sin anymore. We do. That's our struggle. We're sinners, saints. We're sinners by experience and saints by declaration and promise. So we can trust that promise, yet we also still feel the effects of the old Adam. We still feel the effects of the sin in our lives. We still see the degradation of our bodies and creation. We still see the brokenness that comes out in our words and the thoughts and our hearts and all that stuff. And so we cry to God for forgiveness on account of Christ. But we see those two things warring against each other. Yet we know that that promise of God of life into eternity on account of Christ and the graciousness of the forgiveness he has given us in him, that's what ultimately reigns. So it's not that this stuff doesn't happen anymore, this sin doesn't happen anymore. It does. And we fall on our knees in repentance. We say, God, I'm sorry. He says, I forgive you. Now remember, you're dead to that. So come live with me. Come live in me. Come live in my word, right? Abide in my word. Okay, last couple verses here. Verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Beautiful. The law is still necessary. It is. But it continually ends up pointing us to our need for Christ. Continually ends up pointing us to our need for grace, because we cannot save ourselves through the law. Christ came and fulfilled that, and graciously has given us forgiveness by his death and resurrection. So he was the perfect one to fulfill the law. And that's where we have that warring within us, to where we see the law and we see how we don't uphold it, and it continues to point us to our inability to perfectly uphold it, and we fall at the cross again and cry out for God's grace to abound in our ears and in our hearts. And God says, it's yours. I forgive you. So we live under grace, this graciousness of God that has made us dead to sin and alive to him. To see the world around us is a gift given by him. It's beautiful. So even on a gray day, we can smile with joyful hearts, knowing that God reigns. His grace is a beautiful gift that overcomes everything. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept us this night from all harm and danger, and pray that you would keep us this day also from sin and all evil, that all our doings in life would be pleasing to you, for into your hands we give of ourselves, body, souls, all things, that your holy angel would be with us, and the evil foe of Satan would have no power over us. Amen. God bless you and keep you today. Again, if any questions ever come up through these morning devotions, reach out to me. Reach out to Pastor Bob. Reach out to Rachel. Get a hold of us. Let's go get a coffee and talk through this stuff, right? But God bless you and keep you today. Talk to you soon.